Come, come, whoever you are. Do you hear that voice calling you, calling us? That voice which calls us together here today, in this room made holy by our presence and by the sacred breath we share in our singing and in our speaking and in our silence. That voice which calls us to remember that we are not alone and that we are inextricably linked to all other life, woven into a vast tapestry of existence of which we are powerful, integral, and a holy part. And just as we have been called together here today, we act as the voice, the heart, the hands of another call. The call to walk with the wanderers, sing and dance with the worshippers, proclaim the memory of those who have taken their leave, wrap the despairing and the broken in the arms of love and community, and hold the hands of all of us who have broken our vows and call us back again and again to the work of justice, humility, and steadfast love. For this we are here together today. So my friends, come yet again, come, and let us worship together. So hello, one and all, and welcome. It's Sunday, and we Kensington Unitarians are meeting once again, bringing, I hope, all of ourselves to this house of the Spirit, knowing that together we create the whole, bringing all the myriad aspects of what it means to be human here together now. No need to pretend that we are any better than we are. Encouraged rather to understand all of who we are and to tell our stories, our unique experiences of life to one another, that we might feel that welcome here, just as we are. It's good to be together. And our chalice flame is shining brightly, reminding us perhaps that the light shines on the righteous and the unrighteous alike. I need you to see this bird. Does anybody know its call? I heard one of these on Friday and did not know what it was until I pressed this button this morning. It's a song thrush. And they are busy singing to each other for reasons not to be mentioned this early in the morning. Looking for a friend. And the story goes that there was once a wise woman, lived by herself near a small village, and rumour had it that she really was incredibly wise. She could predict the weather. Can't have been in England. She could help children when their tummies weren't quite right and give them nice herbs to make them feel better. She could even help angry neighbours calm down and sort out their problems. People came from all over the land to meet with her and to seek her advice. But some of the children in the village did not believe that she knew the answer to everything. It annoyed them, really. And so they kept coming to her with more and more difficult questions about the universe or why things happen like they do, or why animals do this and that and the other. But she always managed to answer those questions correctly. And then there was one boy who was brighter than all the rest. He must have been very bright because he came up with a test. He thought, I'm going to trick the wise woman. I'm going to prove that she cannot know everything. I know he did not intend to do what he was thinking of doing, but it involved he was going to prove that she didn't know everything. So he hunted for a songbird just like this. He caught it in a net, which we know is a very wrong thing to do. And he went to visit the woman, and he put his hands round the little tiny bird and said to her, "Do you know what I've got in my hands? Because you know everything." Well, she answered, "I don't know everything. That would be impossible." But, and she was listening carefully, she could hear a little bird rustling. "I think you're holding a bird in your hands." That was a lucky guess, wouldn't it? She could have said a mouse or something like that, but she got the bird bit right. The boy was cross. How could she know that? So he came up with part two of his scheme. He would ask the woman whether the bird was alive or dead. Not nice. And if the woman replied alive, he would crush the bird with his hands and prove her wrong. And if she answered dead, on the other hand, well, then he'd pull the living bird from behind his back and allow it to fly away. Either way, he'd be proving his point, and the wise woman would be discredited. "Very good," he called to her. "It is a bird, but tell me, is the bird that I'm holding behind my back in my hands, is it alive or is it dead?" She waited a long time, thought it through, and then she said, "The answer, my friend, is in your hands. The answer is in your hands." And of course, because this is a story, the boy realized the error of his ways and went on to love birds forever, evermore, and never trapped them in nets or played nasty tricks on the older generation. And we all lived happily ever after. Some people say that we do our greatest harms to one another when we deny the truth of who we truly are, and when we hold back parts of ourselves, thinking they're not acceptable. So let's think of what it means to be a house for all saints and all sinners as we move into this time of prayer and reflection. And as I call on the Great Spirit of all that is to be with us now and to bless this time that we spend together this day. Spirit of life and love, we come once again to be reminded of your presence in our lives. We seek your stillness, your peace, your presence and grace in this our holy place. May the promise of your peace remind us that all is yet well, despite the burdens we may bear and the anxieties that are yet to pass. May our weakness and our failings find forgiveness. And as we find peace, may we also find the strength to dismiss the failings we may be quick to judge in others. We know that the work of acceptance is the work of a lifetime. There is always more for us to understand about ourselves and about others. So in the spirit of gratitude, I invite you, if you wish, to think now of someone who you feel accepted by. Accepted just as you are. Or if no one immediately comes to mind, you might think of a time or a place when you felt you could really be yourself, with no need to pretend otherwise. And now let us think, is there an individual or a group that we could be more open-hearted towards? Are we able to accept the failings of others? Knowing that their failings could as well be our own. And in a few moments of shared silence, I invite you to send your thoughts and prayers now to people and places in the world where there is discord, suffering, cruelty, injustice, and particularly all those whose lives are being affected by the famine. South Sudan, in the Yemen, and in the tragedy that is the ongoing fighting in Syria. Let's send our thoughts and prayers. And may this world be a little kinder and more humane because of our presence here on earth this day and all days. Amen.
We are whole, even in the broken places, even where it hurts. We are whole, even in the broken places, the places where fear impedes our full engagement with life, where self-doubt corrupts our self-love, where shame makes our faces hot and our souls cold. We are whole, even in those places where perfectionism blunts the joy of full immersion into person, place, activity. Where good enough does not reside except in our silent longings. Where our gaps must be fast filled with substance, accomplishment, or frenzied activity, lest they gape open and disgust. We are whole where we would doubt our own goodness, richness, fullness, and depth, where we would doubt our own significance, our own profoundness. We are whole even in our fragility, even where we feel fragmented, alone, insubstantial, insignificant. We are whole, even as we are in process, even as we stumble, even as we pick ourselves up again. For we are whole. We are whole.
So let's take that message of welcoming Christ in the stranger's guise into our time of meditation. I invite you to get yourselves comfortable. Let go of anything you don't need to keep in your hands. Enjoy that feeling of having your feet on the floor, that sense of your weight through the chair, heading downwards into the good earth. Letting the gentle rhythm of your breathing settle and calm you. Aware of the sounds outside, those busy London streets, the sound in the room here, and yet able to focus inwards. And if you wish, in this time of meditation, where a short spoken meditation will lead into a few minutes of shared silence together, ending with a chime from our bell. In this time, I invite you to think about this issue of wholeness. What it means to be a whole person. Someone who contains the best and the worst of us and everything that's in between. Nothing that needs to be hidden. Nothing to be ashamed of. Allowing this space to be a time of acceptance for the best and the worst of us and all that lies in between. You might have noticed that we're following monthly themes in our worship and other activities here at Essex Church. And this month we're working with the juiciest of topics, good and evil. I thought it was such a good idea at the time when we chose it, and I have been struggling somewhat ever since. But I guess when most of us think of terms like saints and sinners, well, I guess most of us would place ourselves somewhere between the two. If there are any saints here with us, then I'd love to have a word later on and get some tips. We know, don't we, that no one is all good. And we're probably aware that actually nobody is all bad. We know that to be human is to carry potential within us, and depending on our circumstances and our personalities, the times in which we live, even the people we meet along the way, thank goodness I've met you lot, all these factors shape the ways in which we live our lives. And we also know that it is a rare human being who is brought up in such a way that they feel fully accepted just as they are. Because this is the process of socialization, and we internalize, don't we, certain messages. So I wonder what kind of messages you were all brought up with. One of mine was, I come from a big family, and lo and behold, I was told that you had to share and that you mustn't be selfish. Now, some of you, I suspect, were told that you had to work hard, very, very hard, that you couldn't be lazy, or that your anger was not acceptable at all, or that everybody in your family was tough and did not cry and did not admit to being frightened, Or that maybe that you must be grateful for what you have and not ask for any more. Or that it's not okay if you don't understand something, and it's certainly not all right to make mistakes. I wonder if any of those ring bells with you. And let's admit it too, there is something quite punitive in human nature, isn't there? In many parts of the world still, including here in Britain and the United States, we have legal systems that punish wrongdoers severely, with an emphasis on retribution rather than rehabilitation, and with a wiping of any awareness that generally lousy behaviour has its roots in something terribly, terribly unjust that happened much, much earlier on. So this issue of good and bad behaviour is a concern for us all. Our service title, A House for All, comes from the work of an American Lutheran priest, Nadia Boltz-Weber. And the quotation on the front of today's service comes from one of her books. You probably spotted it already. Whenever people annoy me beyond reason, I can guarantee it's because they're demonstrating something I'd rather not see in myself. How can that be? She's a Lutheran priest from Denver, Colorado. She's become popular around the world because of who she is and because of the messages she brings from her church community. They're called A House for All Sinners and Saints. Now, most church communities say that they welcome everyone, don't they? Whatever you are, whoever you are, wherever you've been, whatever you've done. But the reality does not always match the advertising, because it can actually be quite uncomfortable to welcome people different from ourselves. So we tend to stick to birds of a feather, don't we? It's all planned, you know. It's all like, oh, yes, yes, yes. No expense spared. So I think what Nadia Boltz-Weber does so well is to take Christianity back to Jesus's life and say, well, just look who he was hanging around with, the down and outs of an occupied land in the far outreaches of the Roman Empire. She writes amusingly, I've never fully understood how Christianity became quite so tame and respectable, given its origins among drunkards, prostitutes, and tax collectors. So she's worth finding, Nadia Boltz-Weber, on YouTube and having a listen to, because she has a really strong message and a really strong presence. Janine can attest to this because you've heard her speak, haven't you? She swears a great deal. She has some amazing tattoos, and she challenges us all to consider the ways we limit our love and acceptance. In one of her books called Accidental Saints, Finding God in All the Wrong People, she describes a day in her church where they make gingerbread saints to honour special people. She knows that she must write a certain name on her gingerbread person, Alma White, and she describes her struggles to do so. Apparently, Alma White was an amazing woman in the early 1900s. She set up a church in Denver. She campaigned for women's equality and access to education. She was the first woman bishop in the United States. So far, so good. So far, so saintly. And she was also well known for her support of the Ku Klux Klan, her anti-Catholicism, her anti-Semitism, as well as being really quite hostile towards immigrants. So Nadia tells a fellow priest of her dilemma. She feels called to name Alma White as one of her saints, but does not want to do it. And this other priest says, okay, email me her name, and I'll add her to the litany of saints, along with all the other broken people of God. She writes further in her book, personally, I think knowing the difference between a racist and a saint is kind of important. But when Jesus again and again says things like, the last shall be first, and the first shall be last, and the poor are blessed, and the rich are cursed, and that prostitutes make great dinner guests, well, it makes me wonder if our need for pure black and white categories is not true religion, maybe actually a sin. So says Nadia Boltz-Weber. Now, I hope that all of us here today, and of course I don't know the half of your stories, but I really hope that you have had moments of knowing that you are accepted in your entirety, warts and all, as the old saying goes. But actually, if you think about it for a moment, isn't that quite a rare experience for most of us, to be truly accepted as we are? I hope we have people, all of us, who can be honest with us about our failings and our foibles. I hope they're people who can be honest about their own mistakes too. And I hope that we don't feel we have to accept like someone we're not, in that we have to act like someone we're not in order to be accepted. But don't let's pretend this is easy, or that for most of us that this is a regular feeling of being accepted, unless you're a very, very fortunate person indeed. No, it's not easy. Even in a loving friendship group or a family or a neighbourhood, it's not easy in a church setting like this. So to want to create a house for all sinners and saints is a worthy aim, but it's not just words, is it? It's real work with real people. And the work starts with ourselves when we catch ourselves behaving in ways we would rather we didn't behave. And instead of pushing it back down again, we pay attention. We don't pretend it didn't happen. We acknowledge the truth. Okay, I've had that nasty thought about so-and-so again. I've just avoided talking to ... again. I'm not telling people how bad I'm feeling. Again. I've had a problem this Sunday. Maybe I won't go to church next Sunday. I'll just walk away like I often do. So I wonder if it's happened to you yet. Have you been disappointed by our community in some way? Have I let you down or said something that riled you? Because I will do, I promise. Because it happens everywhere. That's what it is to be human. We stumble, we fall, we make mistakes, we pretend to be something we are not, because we can't quite imagine that we're going to be accepted in our entirety. And it all takes practice and practice and practice and practice. We are complete amateurs in the task of encouraging ourselves and one another to be all of who we are. It'll be the work of the rest of our lives if we choose to take it on. Now, we recognize that good and evil are extremes. They're the ends of that dualist whatever. And most of us are stumbling around somewhere in the middle. I think we can be called to be our best selves only through recognizing the whole of ourselves. And I really hope that our community here at Essex Church can help all of us, including me, in that task. Amen. This is a slightly longer blessing than usual, and I made a copy of it and I stuck it on the wall in the coffee room, and there are some stickers. And if you want to, if any of these beatitudes seem to speak to your condition this morning, then stick a sticker next to that one and let's see which one's a favourite. These are Nadia Boltz-Weber's words. Blessed are the agnostics. Blessed are they who doubt. Those who aren't sure and can still be surprised. Blessed are those who have nothing to offer. Blessed are they for whom nothing seems to be working. Blessed are they who have buried their loved ones, for whom tears are as real as an ocean. Blessed are they who have loved enough to know what loss feels like. Blessed are they who don't have the luxury of taking things for granted anymore. Blessed are they who can't fall apart because they have to keep it together for everyone else. Blessed are the parentless, the alone, the ones from whom so much has been taken. Blessed are those who still aren't over it yet. Blessed are they who laughed again when for so long they thought they never would. Blessed are the losers and the parts of ourselves that feel so small. The parts of ourselves that don't want to make eye contact with a world that only loves the winners. Blessed are the forgotten and the hidden. Blessed are the unemployed, the unimpressive, the underrepresented. So may each of us in the week ahead feel blessed for all that we are and all that we are not. And may we bless all who come our way. Bless them with broken smiles of acceptance and love. Amen. Amen. Go well and blessed be.